Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Selena here this week, and I am flying solo. And what a weird week it has been. Whew, it feels like this time last week, Vicky and I were talking about lessons learned from 28 days of love. Feels like a very, very long time ago. So for this week's episode, in light of everything that's going on at the moment, I wanted to bring a guest to you that could help us to feel nourished and remind us of the importance in times like these with the coronavirus, causing a lot of us to self-isolate and the anxiety that's sort of in the air around it and the unknown. I wanted to bring in a guest who would help us to remember, remind us of the importance of, although we're physically distancing, that socially and emotionally, we need to draw together and come together. So I invited Gemma Brady of Sister Stories onto the podcast this week. Gemma started Sister Stories because as a documentary maker, she had experienced for over 10 years the power of people being able to tell their story and being listened to. And so she decided to start Sister Stories because she wanted to create a space which allowed anyone to experience that power of sharing and listening, being able to tell your story and express yourself, and also hold the space for people to do that. I am a big believer in these kinds of circles. I've been part of sisterhood circles, been creating sisterhood circles with my friends for, I think, over 7 years now, and it has been absolutely life-changing and has nurtured really strong female friendships in my life as a result. So I'm a huge fan of these circles as it stands, but I think right now, this is exactly what we need to do more of. I loved having this conversation with Gemma. I found it so nourishing, so grounding and reassuring, and a reminder of the importance in these times to come together, hold one another, have ourselves be heard, and also listen to one another. So I hope you find this episode as nourishing as I did. And lots of love to you all. Gemma, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
What strange times we're in at the moment. It's so surreal, isn't it?
It really is. We were just talking just before we started recording about how quickly things move. And I feel like each 24 hours, something massive just goes down. And I don't quite, it's the feeling of being on really unsteady ground at the moment. It's
Yeah, that's exactly how I found it. And actually on Saturday, I had been quite blasé about it. And then on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, it really started to hit me. And I really got a lot of surges of anxiety. And one of the things that really helped, I did a bit of yoga, that helped actually. But I got together with a group of friends online. And these are women that we have in the past done sisterhood circles, which is why I'm mentioning it now. And it was so comforting and reassuring to lean in and connect with one another and share and listen, which of course with Sister Stories is what you are all about. And I really wanted to give our listeners at the moment an episode that just offers some help in these troubling times of ways that we can use the beautiful, healing, reassuring power of connection. And even though we can't do it in physical person, we do have the beauty of having technology today, which means that you and I can be recording this episode without being together in a a germ bubble. But yeah, I think right now it's more important than ever to recognize the power and the healing that comes from particularly women, I think, connecting, but really everyone connecting. Mm-hmm. So tell us all about what you do
with Sister Stories, because it's so inspiring. I had my life has changed because of coming together in sister circles. So I'm all about this. So yeah, tell me where it began and the magic of it.
Well, there's, I always pause before I start to tell the story of how it all began, because like every story, there's so many different threads that came together to form this entity that I call Sister Stories. So my background is that I'm a documentary filmmaker. So I've spent the last 12 years getting people to open up and tell really quite sensitive, vulnerable stories on film. And it's a huge privilege to do as a job. It's work that I have always absolutely loved. And as I got further on in my career and started doing quite in-depth interviews with people about quite really challenging and often traumatic things that they've been through, there was a process that happened where by sitting someone in the chair and having virtually no input other than asking maybe the odd question, but really I'd like to just let people talk as much as possible to see what emerges. And there was two sort of dynamics that were happening. One is I was struck by the power of silence. So when you, one a sort of key filmmaking technique is to let there be as much silence as possible. Don't jump in with the next question. The more silence there was, the more interesting things emerged. And the other dynamic was that the person who was telling their story often at the end of the interview would have a hugely cathartic experience and come out of it feeling like some sort of healing had gone on. But so did I. I also felt that way. Because I felt like I was being connected to something really fundamental about humanity in the course of having that conversation. And whilst all that work was going on, I was on a healing path myself and did lots of self-development work, trained in coaching. I trained with Pause Place, who value love, presence and connection, as that's their three values, and learned all about that. I did some training in narrative therapy and all of these kind of little threads. Oh, we'll talk more about your face.
Oh, I know. I didn't want to interrupt, but in my head, I was like, what is narrative therapy? Right. Park that. We'll come back to that.
Come back to that one. And all of these threads were coming together. And I became really curious about spaces that we could have in society that would have that, that would allow that cathartic feeling of both telling your own story, whatever that means. So when I use the word stories, I'm not talking about people kind of getting up on a stage and telling a big tale. Stories to me mean how we make sense of the world and our experiences. So that's just in its most simple form. That's what I mean by story. So I became really curious about how we could often have more spaces in society to be able to do that. And at the time that I started Sister Stories, I hadn't been to any women's circles. It's really curious. I wasn't really that aware of them, if truth be told. So I decided as an experiment to set up this event. And I put something up on Instagram, and within a couple of hours, it was full. And the reason is, you know, there's moments in your life where you realize that there's a thirst around you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that there was just a yearning in my local community for something like that. And ever since, that was almost 3 years ago. And since then, what started as a women's sharing and storytelling circle in my living room has now grown to a network of 30 women facilitating in their local communities. So all over the UK, we've got the first group in Spain, which was supposed to start this week, but had a coronavirus related issue. But the work is spreading. And it's always been to me about real life connection and real life community. And it's curious that we're having this conversation now in this time where that's not possible. So,
yeah.
But the need, the thirst is still there. The thirst for connection is stronger than ever.
Oh, absolutely. And I think just as you were talking about it, and I've, you know, spent probably over the past, I was writing about it actually just the other day. I think it was about 10 years, I've had different groups where we come together and take it in turns to share and listen in that perfect balance of listening and sharing, and how important that is. And but the way we started, so we do sisterhood circles like amongst our friends. So we don't go to somewhere and we just started doing them. We did it when my friend was about to go in for brain surgery. She had a cancerous tumor in her brain and we did a special sister circle. Then we did one for Vicky's hen party. Like we've done it a really, and when I had my son, big moments, but also, you know, we'll just meet up for an evening and just organize a sisterhood circle. Just to share about what's going on in our lives. And I think there's a really deep thirst for it, like you say, particularly among women. I feel it, it's in our cells. You know, it goes deep into our DNA, this need for that kind of connection where you sort of leave. There was something I think you said in your about page about leaving. You know, in a world where there's often competition and comparison and all of that is left at the door, when you come into a space almost like just as you really are and sharing from that place of depth, oh, there's nothing quite like it.
There isn't. And it's one of those things that's quite hard to sort of encapsulate and bottle when you're talking about it, because it's such an experiential thing, isn't it? And one of the things I find hard when I'm talking about this work is to try and crystallize how precious that is.
Yeah.
But I think there's a few things that happen. One is that in circle space, one of the things I often say to people at the beginning is that you don't need to be anyone here. You don't need to be the person you were an hour ago or yesterday or who you might be tomorrow. This is a space for you to be as you are in this moment and see what emerges. So liberating yourself of all of that, sort of that sense of self and that story of self that we carry around and feel we have to play a part, and we all do it, and we are different parts to different people. Leaving that at the door is one aspect of it. But the other thing that you just mentioned that really is really alive for me at the moment thinking about this work is that as a society, in a world where, you know, although many of us do still have religious affiliations, the places of worship that once would be places to gather aren't as prevalent as they were. So there's a real thirst, I think, for ritual, like yes, your pre-baby circle and places to gather. And one thing I'm really passionate about is creating sacred but secular spaces.
Mm.
That regardless of denomination or belief, we're just a group of human hearts and beating hearts and breathing lungs coming together in the same space to just be really stripped back and human. And that is primal, like you say, it's really primal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, when I was saying that about that connection within that circle, you're right, it's the sacredness of it. The other thing where I get that feeling that it's such a deep need in my cells, even when just talking about it, is ritual. And I remember doing my first podcast episode with Tiyu Dahan, who is like the queen of rituals. And I remember her talking to me about ritual, and I felt that same, I could feel it. I could like feel it in my cells, the just like the need for it. And it's like you say, it's that primal, such so rooted in our foundations, that when we find our way back to it, it's like, oh, it's like that sort of, as Donna Lancaster talks about, that remembering. It's like, oh yeah, this is what we're about. This is where our power lies. This is where that real love and connection and presence that you're talking about lies. So how do you create that sacred space?
It's a really good question. In truth, I think that the key ingredient in my experience of creating them is actually simplicity. I think that there are so many spaces that you can go to where there's a lot going on and there's lots of bells and whistles, and that, you know, you're given something to do and then something else to do and something to think about. And the way that I try to create sacred spaces is through, firstly, creating an atmosphere in the room where someone walks in and their shoulders drop.
Mm.
And that can be so simple. Candles, all it takes. but you know, that kind of that magical twinkly feeling of walking off the street into a room, perhaps a door that you've never walked through before, and there being just a very gentle energy in the room that's a sort of atmosphere that's like, you know, just tending to a space really beautifully.
Yeah. Well, I've seen pictures where you've got in one of your circles, you've got like flowers in the middle with candles. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that, isn't it? When a space has been put together with care and attention and love, you feel it because everything is placed in such a way that it's been given thought and consideration. And I think you can really sense when a space like that has been created.
When it comes to ritual, I think if the space is prepared with the care and love and in a ritualistic way, that's felt in the space. But also if you are in a circle space, it's very common to gather around a centerpiece, and often that centerpiece is a flame, which taps into that primal remembering that you were talking about, which is that, you know, obviously in ancient times, all of our gatherings, you know, this is historical, all of our gatherings would have been around fire. That's where food would have been prepared. It's where stories would have been told. It's where rituals would have happened. And at some point, about 6,000 years ago in the Western world, we stopped doing it. And there's societies to this day that have preserved that. But as Westerners, that was lost. And there is a remembering that happens. And if people can feel that when they walk into the room, it really does help.
It really does. Isn't it crazy how these things are so deep rooted in us that they cause those kind of feelings? So again, fire. I'm obsessed with fires. I'm planning on getting like one of those metal fire pits to put on our patio so I can sit around it. I was like, how can we get a fire into the house? And eventually I was like, do you know what? Let's just put the fire outside of the house and we can sit around it, because that need in me, you know, even in my urban London setting, to sit around a fire and talk and look up at the sky is just so strong still. And I think
even the Netflix fire, you know, when Netflix first came out, they had
no.
That
like,
do you not know about this? When Netflix first started, they released this video track that was like an hour and a half of just a crackling fire.
I'd be all over that. I don't, is it, does it still exist?
Good question. I'm
going to go and check it out or watch it tonight. But I think it's about, so much of it is about getting into that right side of the brain where you drop into that sort of depth and intuition and, you know, where you meet yourself when you become still and you step out away from all the hustle and bustle of what's going on the outside and you go inwards and reflect, but at the same time connect with others. It's like that sweet spot. It's like that perfect balance of, yeah, just being present, being heard, and also the one doing the listening. And I think also what you were saying earlier on about that power of both telling the story but also being the person that's listening. And listening without interrupting. I laughed when he said that because I thought, God, I'm terrible for interrupting in interviews. But when I'm in a circle, no interruption happens. And that's sacred, isn't it? Giving someone your listening until they have finished and invite you to say something or not to, but just giving that presence of space and stillness, being held in that. Oh, it's magic.
I train women to lead sister stories, and I was just this afternoon recording one of the modules on how to do the precise thing that you're talking about, which is how to kind of create a certain atmosphere. And the way that I find myself describing what our role is when we're being in circle and hosting circle, it's to walk women across a threshold from social space, where all of the normal rules of society apply, to circle space, where all of that, you're liberated from all of that. And there's a different way of speaking and listening that is very slow. It's just different to everything we're used to. There's no responding. There's no talking over one another. There's just the space. And regardless of what is shared, being in that kind of environment in itself feels healing. And what an amazing, amazing gift to be able to give ourselves and one another by gathering in that way.
Yeah. Well, research has been done to show that when women in particular have very close social bonds, we've done research with things like breast cancer, mm-hmm. the rate of recovery is much greater when they have that, because it's literally that closeness and that support, feeling that sense that's created in that circle, actually there is a healing power to it. Like, and there's been research, I think it's by Macmillan, I can't entirely remember where it was from, but there was proper research done into the power of it. And there's been all sorts of research done into the health benefits of having those close relationships. And I think in a society now where there's a lot of loneliness and a sense of disconnect, what's wonderful, I mean, I do sisterhood circles with my friends, but a lot of people say they don't have that. So how are they supposed to create that when they haven't, well, their friends might not be into that kind of thing. You're actually going out there and creating these circles for anyone to come to, you know, that's amazing.
Well, I think that it's quite rare that we have the opportunity to really sit with strangers, isn't it? Mm. It really is. And I think that one of the things I enjoy most about having events where I don't know anyone in the room and nobody in the room knows each other and very deep things are shared is that regardless of how conscious we are or how good we try to be, we form an impression of every single person who walks through the door subconsciously the moment they arrive about how easy or difficult we perceive their life to be, about, you know, we have this whole story that we project onto them the second we see them, and it happens in the blink of an eye and we don't realize we're doing it. And then through sharing the space together where you hear what's really happening beneath the surface of another human being as a tool for increasing compassion, not only for yourself, where you think, God, I'm not alone, like everybody has loads of stuff going on, but also for other people, and to realize how much we all carry, how complex we are as human beings, how multifaceted, how many dimensional. It's a gift. And I think that, yeah, being with strangers is part of it for me. I really, most of the female friends that I've known for a long time haven't actually ever been to one of my circles.
Really?
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing, because that's not the way that we necessarily interact, and it's not the way that we would gather. So finding that space with strangers has been great for me, and it liberates you from, again, those ideas of who people think you to be and who you think yourself to be around those people.
And I love what you said earlier about you really encourage people to come as you are in this moment, because one of the things on Saturday when we met up with a group of girlfriends, I'm so used to being like the strong coper, you know, holding others, and I was just like, I'm really anxious, like just allowing myself in that moment and over this weekend to just say I'm really anxious and I'm really struggling with the anxiety at the moment, and just letting myself be who I was in that moment, even though it's not who I, you know, necessarily kind of identify myself with being that, but allowing myself that space is so powerful. I had another question, and I was trying to think, what was it? I had another question that I wanted to ask you. Ah, it was this. Why do you only, have you tried it with men before? Mm. You have?
No, I would.
I'm going to ask. why is it just for women? I mean, I also do sisterhood circles. That doesn't mean I wouldn't be open to doing it with men and non-binary. And obviously, you know, I want to be inclusive, but that's how we do it. I did say at one point, like, I want to invite my male friends to do this as well. But why do you keep it to women?
It's a really interesting question. I was talking to someone about this just before we came on this call. And the truth is that it has been born out of something that I felt like I really needed in my life. And it felt really true to me to be able to offer this space. I think that if there are many women who don't have spaces like it, and it's felt continuously important. And yet I have other spaces that I'm part of where men are part of that equation, and it's really healing to be with both. So I haven't come, it's just not a direction that I've stepped in yet, but something is brewing, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how it is, and I don't know whether it's with it. You know, it probably is something entirely different from Sister Stories, although a friend of mine joked that you could start a male version called Chaps Chapters, which made me laugh. But yeah, men need those spaces too.
Absolutely.
Men need those spaces too. And it's something I'm quite conscious of. You know, it's not to be exclusionary. It's just a yearning that I continue to have actually. And as I navigate different thresholds in my sort of, you know, maturing as a woman, it becomes increasingly important. So I'm about to step into motherhood. That feels like a really special time to be around a female energy, for example. So often what we offer is the reflection of what we need ourselves, isn't it? And I think that
Becoming
with women falls into that category for me.
Yeah, and I think it is important for women to have women-only groups. And with that, I would include anyone who identifies as a woman. But I also think it's important for men to have men-only groups. I think, it's important for people to sometimes just be with, for women to be in that feminine energy as well, and to be heard. Mm-hmm. And to feel safe to speak and know that they will be understood. I think there's a really deep need for that. I was just curious, to hear. Do you get asked that much?
A lot, actually.
Yeah, I thought probably. Of course. They're like, hang on, what about, I had this conversation the other day with my partner. He's just like, what about us? And I was like, you get quite a lot of the space out in the world. So I think it's quite good for other groups to have their own space where they can dominate for once. I think it's, I think it's quite important.
True. Although in that world that men live in, I think the having access to spaces like this where they're able to share is quite rare.
And
the sort of societal, it's not something that is expected of men. There's an amazing documentary. I don't know if you've come across it. It's called The Work. Have you seen it?
No.
It's about an experiment in an American prison where they do a rehabilitation program with prisoners, and it's men's circles essentially. And they bring members of the general public into the prison to take part in that. And these men scream and rage and express, and it's really deep, profound circle work. And watching men emote in that way and have a space to be able to be that vulnerable, which is not a gift that's often given to them, is really special. Yeah, it's called, I'm pretty sure it's called The Work.
I have seen a clip, and I don't know if it's of this. It's a clip of, I saw it because of through Nova Reed's course on anti-racism. Mm. And it's of a black man in a room with men of different races, but particularly they focus in on two white men who are holding a circle, like they're all in a circle. And the black man's talking about his experience of racism, and suddenly he gets very upset and very angry. But the men hold the space. And they don't interject, they hold that space while he gets out all of that rage and the upset and the anger. It gives me goosebumps just remembering it. It is so powerful. It's painful to watch as well because of his pain, but it's so powerful. And the power of the men just holding that space and listening and not jumping in. Yeah, it's incredible. So I totally agree. I think it's very healing for everyone to have spaces like that where they can be heard and they can express themselves and feel that they will be held and not judged in that space. I think, healing in community is, as Donna Lancaster talks a lot about that with the bridge retreats that she does, there's a lot of that sitting in circle and healing community, which I think is our, that's where we've come from. I think that's, it's in our cells, it's in our DNA.
And yet for some, I mean, it depends what your lineage is, but for some people that hasn't been accessible for such a long time. Just as you're walking, I was thinking, what spaces did my parents have access to? And I was thinking, God, the confession box in Catholic Church. It's not exactly, an understanding audience.
quite a lot of judgment, actually. Well, I suppose there's the Quakers.
True.
It's probably the closest within the sort of Christian tradition of that kind of thing. But absolutely beautiful. So if people want to, so how are you adapting to it at the moment with self-isolation, because just coming back to the beginning, you know, we're talking about strange times, and obviously this is all about bringing people together. But I think at this time, it's so important that people get that experience, even if they have to physically distance, you know, they need to socially pull together. Are you finding ways to adapt that? Are you I mean, it's early days. We've only just been thrown into this weird and surreal living situation. You just found out you're pregnant. You just found out today that you need, they've been telling all pregnant women to self-isolate, haven't they?
Apparently so. I still need to get the lowdown on exactly what that means. But yeah, that was what the Prime Minister's daily coronavirus speech said, apparently. It's a really good question about the adaptability. And I think that, as we said at the beginning, you know, that the situation is changing each 24 hours is bringing what feels at the moment like such a huge sea change. And who knows what will happen over the coming weeks. But yesterday I was due to have 2 in-person circles. And on Friday morning, I fully intended to go ahead. I practice hygiene. You know, I was looking, I'd been spending all week doing as much research as possible about how you could safely continue. And by Friday afternoon, I thought, I cannot in good conscience bring together a group of people where the information, you know, there's no clear sign about what it means to be carrying this. We have a big social responsibility not to just be bowling around business as usual. So, you know, within 6 hours, things had changed. So yesterday I was due to have 2 circles. One was a circle of women meeting for the first time, but the second one was a group that I'm running at the moment where we're meeting regularly, once every 2 weeks over 3 months, and we decided to go online. And in the history of running circles, I have always been so opposed to running online circles. It's been like part of my ethos not to, actually, because there's so, you know, there's wonderful places we can gather online, and you and I are having this conversation now, we connected online, you know, it's a big part of my life and I love it, but I also really believe in the need for real life connection. And actually, that's had to go out of the window for now, because the most important thing, regardless of the medium, is the connection. So we came together on Zoom last night, that group, and honestly, it was one of the most powerful circles I've been in. And the way that it, you know, obviously it had to be facilitated differently, but we did things with candles and the space, and it just felt beautiful. And we were all so grateful to have that exhale, that collective exhale, after a weekend of what feels like madness and uncertainty, to find an anchor. And it is all about anchoring ourselves into calmness. So it was beautiful. So who knows what will happen from here. But I've always, when I've trained women to lead circles, I've always done that in person too. And actually, as it happens, I'm now for the first time running an online version of that, because my fierce connection to being in person meant that there were lots of people who this work wasn't accessible to because they couldn't come to London. So it's an interesting dance for me at the moment, thinking about the principle of really believing that we need to come together in the flesh, and also that that in itself can be exclusionary. You know, it's a real thing that I'm trying to navigate at the moment, and everything that's happening is bringing it into very sharp relief.
Absolutely. Well, it's probably a little bit early to ask you if you're then planning over the next couple of months to do online sister stories, but are you planning to do that?
Perhaps.
So, yeah. That's why I thought it might be a bit too early to get a definite decision from you, being that it's been like a week since this is all kind of rapidly developed.
I think for people who are familiar what being in the flesh with one another in this way can be like, it's a really beautiful thing to offer. I'm curious if someone was coming to it for the first time as their first circle experience. Yeah. That's where my reservation, and it is a curiosity. And again, I might be attached to this in-person thing, who knows? So that's what I'm playing with at the moment as a question. I don't know.
Well, it's all about experimenting, isn't it? But I think definitely I highly recommend just coming together with friends online, using something like Zoom, where you can have, you know, groups of different faces on your screen popping up. And it's better than nothing. I totally agree that in-person connection, you can't replace that. It's incomparable. But when you can't do that, then you can. But that, I loved hearing that, how powerful it was. It's so needed at the moment to have, to keep creating those spaces for that deeper connection. You know, we can do it online for now until we're all back together again, being able to actually physically hold each other and hug each other and not just tentatively rub elbows. Oh, thank you so much. I feel so nourishing hearing you talk about these circles and the work that you do. I know firsthand the power of being part of these circles. I've been lucky that I've got friends who want to do them. I think it's just, yeah, wonderful that you're offering it and that it's spreading. You've got how many people now facilitating these groups?
There's 30.
Wow.
And hopefully a new set of women starting soon. And it's worth mentioning that if anyone's interested in running circles and whatever form that looks like for them, I've just produced a free guide on how to run women's circles so that people
wow.
put together their own version of it. And so that the word can spread hopefully a bit more widely, because it's, you know, it's hugely important. And the more people...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, could not come at a better time. Where do people go to download that? And they can presumably recreate that online for now.
Yeah, I mean, people can do, you know, yeah. there's just a guide to all of the elements to consider when you're putting something together. I'm trying to think about where to start. I mean, it's on the Sister Stories website, but I'll send you a link. Do you have show notes?
I will put it in the show notes.
And you're like, oh, where do I keep my online resources?
I always do that. I always make up, URLs and then you have to quickly duplicate a page and recreate it.
I'm not going to say something I'll then regret, but yes.
No. Yeah, we'll have it in the show notes, because I just think right now, there is such a need for it with everything that we're all going through collectively. And I think being able to be given some guidance of people doing it the first time, eventually do it in person. But just a wonderful thing to be doing at the moment online is bringing people together and creating these circles where people feel they can speak and be held and be listened, and then in turn do the listening, which, like you say, is just as powerful as doing the speaking, is being there and listening and pouring your love into a circle and everyone just being nourished by it. We need lots of that at the moment, you know. So thank you so much for the work that you do, Gemma. I absolutely love it. It's so powerful, it's so beautiful, it's so needed, and I can't wait to be able to come to one of these circles in person. And, you know, I love the idea of going to one where I don't know anyone. I'm used to going to where I do know people and know their backstory, but lovely to go where actually no one knows who I am and any of my backstory. And yeah, I just turn up and be me in that moment. Be amazing. So I'm going to look forward to that as well. So if people want to find out just about everything that you do, the sister circles that will be, sister stories rather, that will be coming up, and also about training to be a facilitator, if that course, then where should they go?
Yes. So the website is www.sisterstories.co, and you can find all the information on there. I'm quite active on Instagram, and it's @sisterstoriesuk. And if people are interested in facilitating, we start in just a few weeks' time with the online program on the 2nd of April. So it's worth.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a good moment to be studying and being together in community with a group of other women who are also training to do this work. And then you'll be part of this community of women out there doing it and connecting.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Absolutely. And you're right. What a perfect time, actually. What incredible timing to be doing it, and luckily doing it online. What a happy coincidence.
Well, I know. Can you believe it? Goodness.
You finally allowed yourself to do it online at just the right time. Brilliant. Well, I'm sure you'll have lots of people heading on over to follow you on Instagram and coming to find out more. And just a big thank you.
Well, thank you for giving space to this conversation, because the simplicity of it all, it sounds like just sitting down in a circle and having a chat. And, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, because the more people know, the more people can dip their toe in and try and facilitate. see if they can find something or create something themselves.
Yeah,
exactly. You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.